I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats, repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool?
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show with Dad's Point of View on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. I notice my producer Richard has been playing two of the three Rat Pack guys. That was Frankie, and preceded that was Dean. Do we have Sammy coming up next? Well, I don't think we've planned that, but maybe we should have a show with just Rat Pack music. And not even me. That would even, I'd then sit and listen and really have a good time. Anyway, call if you'd like to, because our next guest is very special, Julie Spira, the cyber dating expert and best-selling author of The Perils of Cyber Dating, Confessions of a Hopeful Romantic Looking for Love Online. Julie is a worldwide authority on online dating, or in online dating, or in inline dating, something like that, and a dating advice columnist. She is frequently quoted in the media, including ABC, CBS, Fox, Women's Day, Glamour, and Men's Health. Her dating advice has appeared on eHarmony, Match.com, JDate, Huffington Post, and more. It is a privilege that she is able to join us. She was also named one of the top 10 columnists to follow on Twitter. Welcome, Julie, to the Bruce Salen Show.
Thank you. Gosh, it sounds like I'm a really busy person.
Well, I know you are. You are. It is legitimate. You are busy. You are traveling all the time, and you lead a pretty darn exciting life.
Well, you know, it's interesting because your subject today is passion, and I really truly feel so passionate just about my life every single day.
You realize how lucky you are.
Is it luck or is it choice?
Well, I like to think it's a little bit of both. I know, for instance, in my former career in showbiz, I don't care how much you choose to be in showbiz, you've got to have a certain amount of luck to have any success. So I personally believe that luck and being smart and making an effort are the ingredients you need to follow certain passions. To become as successful as you've become, no doubt involved in an incredible amount of drive, but you got the right spot at the right time, and it hit, you know?
Well, I'm certainly happy for that. And really, I couldn't do it without the following that I have, the people that truly, truly want this advice, the people that are jumping online and dipping their toes in for the very first time if they find themselves divorced and suddenly the friends aren't fixing them up. So the fact that they have a resource is so good, because when I first went online dating, I had to, you know, be quiet about it. I had to say it's hush-hush, no one should know, because there was a stigma. Now it's okay to embrace it and ask for a little help.
In that regard also, I imagine, and I didn't expect us to necessarily talk about our respective careers and how we got there, but you did start doing what you did at the beginning of the wave. So you were at the right place at the right time and took advantage of it, correct?
Well, it is to a certain degree, yes. I mean, it was 1994, and you know, most of my friends didn't even have an email address in those days. So when I was looking for love online, my heart had gotten broken. I figured, let me try this. I'm already online. I'm an internet executive. You know, I was in that industry. So it was very easy for me. But I also didn't want the world to know, because I thought, gee, is there something wrong with me that I just can't find somebody going out? But I was working all the time, so it really did work well for me.
You know, the interesting thing is, I think women, correct me if I'm wrong, because you know how often I will make sexist comments, but I think women still, more often than men, hold on to the romantic notion of what I call a cute meet, like in the movies. Like, we'll bump into each other at Barnes & Noble looking at romance novels. And I don't think that is very real these days. And holding on to that can hold you back, I think.
And it also depends upon the age. You know, when you're younger, you're invited to more social events, and you have a greater chance of meeting somebody at a party where there are other singles. But as you get older, even if you're in your 40s or your 50s, you know, we're not over the hill, but we still aren't, you know, in those kind of social environments where there are a lot of singles. They're usually married couples, or you just don't get the invitation anymore.
Add into the mix, if you're a single parent, which is our primary topic, single parent dating, and you've got all those challenges, especially if you're a single parent without the other parent's involvement.
Yeah, like in your case, and that is very challenging, and you need to find a very understanding person who is willing to and excited about really blending in with your life the way it is.
My wife was excited until both boys became teenagers. Then she said, I didn't sign up for this.
Right. Well, you know, I was a stepmother, and I didn't really know what I was signing up for. I had an illusion about, you know, having these gorgeous children that are always just going to be so well-behaved and having fun time with them on vacations. And as they turned into the teenage days, it did become very, very challenging.
Well, it is indeed a challenge. But let's stay on topic in general about dating. And before we go on to following your passion, I know when I talked to you earlier this week, you said that you had an interesting follow-up from last week's topic about who makes more money. So I'd love for you to share that with our audience.
Oh, thank you. And it's really interesting. Bruce last week, if you aren't listening, made a comment that he always believed that he should be the one as the man to pay for the date, or at least in the early days. And there is a situation, and I agreed with him, because you really want to put your best foot forward, and you don't need to go to the fanciest restaurant in town. However, on a second date with a man that was actually very interested in the woman, and they were going to a movie, he text messaged her and said, "I'm running late. Can you pick up the tickets?" So she picked up the tickets, $25. He says, "Meet me in the bar." She meets him in the bar. She says she'd like a glass of champagne, and he says, "I'll have one glass of champagne, two glasses." And so what an impression did he make that he wanted to split a drink?
Meaning he was planning to share this lady's glass of champagne?
Yeah, he was sharing the glass of champagne. So rather than ordering two drinks and maybe not finishing them, he ordered one drink, two glasses.
Well, just to be the defender of this louse of a guy, maybe he was trying to be romantic.
No, there was nothing romantic about it. It was cheap. And the fact is, you know, he could have ordered a glass of water, or they could have ordered a drink that wasn't as expensive, but he never offered to reimburse her for the movie tickets. And he basically, you know, splitting a drink and splitting an appetizer can be really sexy and romantic when you've been dating for a while and you can feed each other creme brulee. But when you barely know someone, it sends a really, really bad impression. There will not be a third date.
Wait, or even a second.
Well, that was the second date.
Oh, okay. I got
there
you.
Will not be a third date.
Well, man, I hope you're listening. The chivalry may be dead in some circles, but not in all circles. And not only that, you do win so many points by just doing some of the simple things that a man can do, whether it's opening a door or picking up a tab. And if you can't afford it, just figure out other ways to do nice things that are less expensive. Creativity and thoughtfulness is just as effective as, you know, $100 bills. At least that's my opinion. So, Julie, the topic today is finding your passion. So I'm wondering, as it relates to dating, how important it is in finding a partner that shares your passions and interests.
Well, I think that you need to have certain common interests and passions that you share together, but you don't need to share everything. So, for instance, if you like boating and you meet someone who has a boat and you happen to share that boating passion, that's terrific. But let's just say you like to go to Palm Springs and he hates the desert. Go to Palm Springs with a girlfriend. Balance it out a little bit. You need to have certain passions that you can share together because you're creating your memory book.
Are there, in your mind, and I'm very serious about that, are there non-negotiables that you should share?
Well, the non-negotiables, you know, quite often are the subjects that are tricky to talk about early on, but they're important for the long term. And they may come down to things such as religion, politics. It's not necessarily where you're going on vacation because, you know, you can take turns. You plan this one, I'll plan the next one, and you sort of compromise. And as long as you're together, that's really fine. But when you have certain value sets, how you raise your children, your values towards education, religion, politics, those are things that, you know, aren't always easy to be successful at in a relationship if you don't have common interests there.
My first marriage failed because we didn't have some of those bigger, not what I'm calling non-negotiables in common. While my second marriage so far is working, we quibble over the little stuff. But the little stuff you could compromise on, just like the vacation example. I mean, we finally reached a solution for date night, which was we would always argue about where we'd go to eat. So the solution was like right in front of us. How about taking turns? So now each date night, every other one, I get really excited because I get to choose the restaurant. And she gets really excited on the alternate ones. And we're, of course, excited to be together. So that stuff, I think, is always negotiable. But
and that's terrific. As a matter of fact, I had written an article called Five Ways to Date Your Mate, and one of them specifically was date night, and have that sacred night, the same night every week, and take turns planning the date. So you both are really engaged in it, and it's a little bit of a surprise for the other partner, so it makes it a little fun and sexy.
Well, I guess we were on the same page, and that was unplanned. We are running out of time. Please tell our listeners, Julie, where they can reach you.
You can reach me at cyberdatingexpert.com and also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/cyberdatingexpert.
Julie, thank you so much. We're going to have a whole segment sometime, which I actually think I'd like to discuss with you, do a special segment in which you might promote your book or something new, and we can have a banked show just with you if you are available sometime.
It sounds terrific. Thank you, Bruce.
Okay, talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
It's time for another break. Be sure to call in if you'd like for the last segment at 866-564-1290. This is the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View, on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.